job, son. Good job. All right. Good morning. Man, that was a huge blessing. You know, you can't go wrong when you serve God. And it's about the willingness to get up and do it. And that's all that God ever asks for us to do, is just be willing, right? As you can see as an example here. I'm not highly educated, right? I'm the last of the litter, right? The undesirable, you know? But I was the guy that said, yeah, I'll preach, right? So anyway, okay, so I'm kind of stalling because you guys gave me half an hour and I only got about 5 minutes worth of stuff. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. We're going to focus on verse 13, but I'm going to read the whole chapter here real quick. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us are as us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? There's a question mark there. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that from form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and became servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, if you look a little bit closer at Romans chapter 6, verse 13, it says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness, right? And he goes on to say, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. You know, and when I read that, I thought, that's kind of interesting. So the question I said, well, if I had died and then I was made alive again, how differently would I live my life? If I had died and then I was raised to life, how much different would I live my life now? And then I thought, that's what happened when I got saved. See, I was dead in my sins. My spirit was dead, right? That's what the Bible says. And then it was made alive at that moment, for by grace are you saved through faith, right? Right, that moment I said, I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. And I need a Savior. And I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has given me everlasting life. Not only that, but He quickened my spirit, didn't He? I've been made alive. So I was dead, right? Spiritually, I was dead. And now, if I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm alive. And what God says is that, okay, so if you were dead and now you're alive, you need to live like that. You need to live in a different form, a different fashion in which you lived when you were dead. So the issue is here is, as he says, I'm going to give you a recipe, basically, on how to do that. Right? Because here's the issue is we live in a society that says, okay, we don't expect a change. Don't worry, there's no pressure. We're not going to require you to change. We're not going to require you to grow. If you look towards the end of chapter 6, you know, he talks about fruit. And those of you who patiently listened to me in the past, you know my what I have used as an example was that poor orange tree that I tried to plant one time, you know, and it didn't produce any fruit. Well, it produced one little fruit. It was terrible. I, you know, we had cut it out open. I mean, the whole family was gathered around it, and I was like, okay, you get this much, and I get the most because I, you know, I help grow this thing the most, and so. And then we bit into the, it was the worst orange I'd ever had. And so, you know, I just kind of gave up. I said, you know what? Yeah. You know, if I accidentally mow over this thing with the lawnmower, it's not going to hurt my feelings. Right? So here's the issue is that it says, first of all, here's part of this recipe. It says, this is how you're going to do it. You're supposed to live as if you were dead and then you're alive. Of course, we know, right, after reading this passage of Scripture, I understand as a simpleton that I have some choices to make. I have a choice to make on a daily basis, right? Either I can yield my members as instruments unto unrighteousness, right, or I can yield myself unto righteousness or unto God. And I look around and I look at all these scruffy looking little teenagers. You know, they're so skinny they gotta, you know, tickle the hair on their legs to keep their socks up. You know. And you know, and in my personal opinion is when it comes to life, they couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper bag. Right? But they think they can. But the issue is that, you know, we kind of tend to look at them, but I have to look at myself, though, too. I have to make a decision every single day that I'm going to yield myself to God. But this is what I want to look at. It says, first of all, don't yield your members as instruments unto unrighteousness and sin. When I thought about members, I thought, you know, about all the members in the church. I'm just kidding you. No, I thought, okay, what does that mean? I looked it up. It's the parts of the body. So it's my fingers, it's my eyes, it's my ears, it's my brain, it's my mind, my mouth, my tongue, you know. And so that's what I listed here, my hands. I got to make sure that I don't lend my hands, right, to unrighteousness. Right? So I've got to watch what I do with my hands. I got to watch what I do with my eyes. Right? Okay, I'm here to tell you, I give you some very simple, basic biblical truths. Okay? Man is not influenced by sin in the world, in a sense. Man is born with a sin nature. Now, he's influenced to a certain point, but nobody sits there and says, I'm going to watch this other guy, and that's how I'm going to learn to sin. Your sin is already inside of your heart. What Satan does is that he uses what you watch. He uses what you listen to. Right? That's the biggest things, is what you see with your eyes and what you hear with your ears. Satan can take that, he uses that, right, and he does tempt you, but here's the issue, is you have the sin nature within you. And Satan simply just takes what you've already watched, what you've already listened to, and you are then given an option of whether you're going to sin, right? If we study James, the first chapter of James, James says, hey, when we've put that idea in our head and when we've made a decision to sin, we sin. That's paraphrasing it. So here's the issue is that unlike what society tries to teach you, what Hollywood tries to teach you is you are not a victim of your circumstances. You may be influenced at times, but you have a choice. Right? Yeah. You're just not born a certain way, so to speak. You're just not, just handicapped. You're just not born handicapped in a sense. We know physically being handicapped, but I'm talking about your mental capacity to choose what is right and what's wrong, especially if you're a born-again Christian. See, I'm here to tell you the only people that can be double-minded are Christians. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're single-minded. You're carnal-minded. There's not been a rebirth. You're still got a dead spirit. The body's just going to do. By the way, that's the difference between a carnal Christian and a Christian who's led by the Spirit, right? Is one that's allowing the flesh to run the show, right? The Spirit's alive, but he's made a decision that he's going to let the flesh run the show. That's what I see even just as a simpleton here. Because I can let my hands, my eyes, my ears, my feet, right? Where I go, where I don't go. You know, what you're typing in on the computer, that's how your hands do a lot of the work, you know. I can allow them to be instruments of unrighteousness. Right? So then I thought, well, what's unrighteousness? Right? It's simply just a violation of the law. If you were to look up the simple meaning of unrighteousness, it's a violation of the law, right? Well, but here's the tricky part. As a born-again Christian, are you under the law or are you under grace? You're under grace, right? But does that mean that you can still sin and offend the Holy Spirit? It's a little technical, doesn't it? Right? Because God says once you're a born-again Christian, your sins are wiped out from past, present, and future, right? But here's the issue is that you have to look at it in a little bit simpler terms. If you're a born-again Christian, right, you are now a son or a child or a daughter of God, right? Now, that being said, because there's a birth, you can't change that fact. Once you're birthed, you're always birthed. As handsome as I am, especially with this wonderful beard, you know. This beard takes patience. Takes, you know, hair blowing, hair dryer blowing, oils, you know, paste in there, you know, form this stuff, right? As handsome as I am, see? But once you're birthed, you're birthed. You're birthed. That's it. That's the same way spiritually. But here's the issue is that what the Bible says is that you still have an obligation to God to make sure that you don't allow your members of your body, right, to be used as instruments of unrighteousness. You have a choice. You have a choice. Now, the violation of the law, we are no longer under the law. But here's the issue is if I do something that I know God says I'm not supposed to do, is that sin? Yeah, it's sin. You look at it in James, if you study James, right? James says, for a man to do good and he doeth it not, to him it is sin. Right? So the issue is, though, is keeping a short account with God. I know what offends God. I knew as a child, I knew what upset my father and what didn't. Now, my dad, when I disobeyed my dad, he didn't say, ah, that's it, we're going to take your last name off, and you're no longer my child. No, he didn't do that. He says, unfortunately, you're a deal. You're always going to be a deal. But you're going to follow some rules. Right? So the issue is that I cannot lose my salvation once I'm saved. Right? But I can do things that displease God. As a Christian, what I watch, what I listen to, can displease God. So what the Bible is saying here is that, hey, if you're a born-again Christian, you're supposed to live in a different manner than how you used to live. Right? I thought about, you know, some of these people in past history, like people like Jeffrey Dahmer and those guys. Sleeping with dead bodies, if I could say that. I mean, that's just about the way it was like. You say, huh, that's kind of offensive. But I'm here to tell you, if you're a born-again Christian and you have indwelling sin, that's the same thing as sitting there walling around with a dead body. I've always had dogs. And some of these dogs there's certain levels of intelligence I've noticed with some of my dogs. You know, I had one dog that's the thing he would do. He'd go find something dead out there, and the first thing he'd do is just like smear himself all over with this dead thing. So, I mean, it just stunk to high heavens, you know. It was just terrible, you know. And so he'd come home, you'd have to wash him up. And I mean, but that's, you know, that's how some Christians are, though. Instead of going out there and finding what's good, right, they'll go out there and find something that's spiritually dead and rub themselves all over it. But I'm here to tell you is that it's not profitable for you as a Christian to do that. It's not fruitful for you to do that as a Christian. Let me keep on track here. So Philippians 4:8. Turn over to Philippians 4:8. I'm going to be done here real quick. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Right? That's a simple recipe, isn't it? You want to know what to think about? You want to know what is right? Study God's Word. God's Word is truth, isn't it? Right? You know, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. You want an honest opinion? Read God's Word. Excuse me. So it says here in my notes is some people can learn, like my children. See, I've raised like a total of 6 children. So here's the thing is that I can understand that my kids, after a while, they learn how to say yes, Dad, no, Dad, and And they learn how to dress and feed themselves and sometimes. And then I still got to come back and do it even when they're teenagers, you know, and say, what happened? Did we miss this part of the training or what? But here's the issue is that some people can learn how to obey really well. But the tricky part is, what about on the inside? You can have a kid that'll sit there and he'll dress right, smell right, talk right, look right. But deep down inside, where's his will at? Is he running the show, right? Or is God running the show? And I could say that about myself. You know, it takes a lot. I put a lot of smell good in this beard and everything so that, you know, it doesn't smell like food. I wash it and everything, right? So, I mean, looks good, smells good, right? But is it really good? I'm just teasing about that. What I'm saying, though, is that it's my will. What God is interested in is my heart. And God says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, you're supposed to think about those things. You're supposed to dwell on those things continually. That's what he's saying. He's saying, okay, if you're a born-again Christian, if you've put your trust in me, you're not supposed to live the way that you used to live. You're supposed to live a different way. Right? People should be able to tell that there's something different about you. Right? It's funny how all the guys I hang out, they're like, well, you know, you could go fish Sunday. It's going to be a nice out. You could go fishing on Sunday. I said, no, I got to go to church. They're like, okay, let's change the subject. And we got to go. It's time to go back to work. Right? but it's like, no, I've got to go to church. And I go to church because I'm showing God that I love him. He doesn't need me to love him, but I show God that, hey, God, thank you for saving my soul. That's why I'm faithful. I try to be faithful. So then lastly here is in conclusion, you know, you notice if you go back over there to Romans chapter 6, if you look at verse 16, it says here, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17 says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from what? The heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So here's the reality in life. In conclusion, either you're going to be a slave to sin, whether somebody who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, or even as a born-again Christian, you can be a slave to sin. Or you can choose to be a servant of God. Number one, through a rebirth, knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then secondly, by making an active decision every day that you're going to be a servant to God. That's what it comes down to. Is not yielding to sin, not yielding to the sin nature, right? But yielding to God. Not yielding, I put like in my notes here, because, you know, I'm a Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine, even though I'm fat and bald now. You know, I'm still a Marine in heart. But I said here, over the top of don't yield, I said fight. See, I just don't want to just not yield. I just don't want to be on the defensive. I want to be on the offensive, right, for Christ. I want to be pushing down the field. I want to be pushing forward for God. So what I'm concerned about is that am I closer to God today than I was a year ago, If I'm not, then I need to get back to the basics. I need to get back to understanding that, guess what? I was once dead, but now I've been made alive. And I've got to live my life that way, the life that God has given to me. By the way, when you put it all into perspective, there's only one thing that you can take to heaven. That's people. It's all about people. So, you know, if I was dead or if I died today and then I was brought back to life, boy, I'd make sure I'd hung on my boys a little bit more, pester them, punch them around. I shouldn't say that. I don't punch them. I just, you know, I wrestle with them and, you know. I play with them. You know, they're getting tough. They're like, hey, Dad, look at this, you know. And they, you know, I'm like, yep, man, getting there. Getting there. Don't hurt me now. Got arthritis. I'm old. Huh? But the issue is, I would make sure that I invest more into people. You've got a society now that doesn't invest into people. You want to try something awkward? Leave your phone at the house when you go to the restaurant. Yeah. Go wait at the doctor's office without taking your phone. Yeah, that's going to be awkward, isn't it? Because I'm just like everybody else. I'm like, I'm looking around. I don't know anybody here. I'll pretend like I just, you know, okay, yeah. These things have given everybody this false sense of being anonymous. But what it's doing is it's hindering us in our communication processes in developing the right relationships with people. We are designed to be interactive with people. That's what makes the difference is people can tell a fake miles away. They can tell. You really don't care, or if you do. You know, it always comes down to being available for people. What happens when the chips are down? What happens when you need something? Are people going to be there? Not necessarily here, but in life, that's where I throw my fits the most. Well, I don't know how to do that. Nobody else is going to be here to help me. I guess I'm just going to have to do it myself. Right? That's how I throw my fits most of the time. So the issue is, though, understand this lastly, is that if you choose to be a servant unto God, there's some benefits. Right? There's some benefits. You know, as a servant, even in the Bible times, you had some choices. You got to make some choices. Right? I don't necessarily know all those choices were, but you know what I'm saying? You got to choose what you did, pretty much. You served the master, but you had some choice. You had some flexibility there. Another thing is that a servant is protected. Slave usually isn't. Slave isn't given any choices. Slave has no rights. Certain servants did under certain households. They represented the master when they were out in the marketplaces. They had certain authorities that had been given to them. And in some cases, they earned wages. It was totally anti-Christ and blasphemous, but even that one fellow, remember in the Old Testament, he hired that Levi priest, right? And said, hey, you could be the priest over my house, and I'll pay you this much money. And by the way, I've got these other sculptures, you know, to these other gods, you know, that we could just all combine together and smoosh together, and everybody sings kumbaya, and everybody's happy. By the way, that same kind of garbage and that same kind of philosophy is still going on today. And what we need is we need young people and we need elderly people. We need all people that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that are going to make a decision on a daily basis that they're going to live for Christ, that they're going to yield their will to God. See, not just being obedient to certain things, but yielding your will. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes my will is hard to break. But I'll tell you what, as I've gotten older, I sit there and go, okay, fine, I give up early. God pesters me about a certain thing, says, this is what you're going to do. I really don't want to do that. Well, you're going to do it anyway. I still don't want to do that. God's like, well, you want me to break something again? Or do you want to do it the easy way? Right? Yeah. Yeah. I'm here to tell you, especially you young guys, is that God, if you're truly born again, you belong to God. And God's just not going to sit there and go, you know what? You can do whatever you want. God isn't like that. God's going to let you go only so far. And then he's going to reel you back in. And you're better off doing it willingly than unwillingly. By the way, that goes for us old senior saints too. Right? So you have a choice. You can live unrighteously, or you can live righteously. It's your choice. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your goodness unto us. I pray, Lord, that we would learn to choose you, that we would learn to, for me personally, that I would be obedient unto you, Lord, in all things. I just pray, Lord, that you would work in our lives. Bring us back this evening, Lord, to hear more from your word. I just pray, Lord, that you'd bless us, be with our pastor and his family, as I'm sure they'll be returning home soon. And again, we thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.